the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This week, as I thought about our gospel for today, I also heard a story about a young girl who learns from her grandfather an explanation of what it means to be charitable. And the grandfather explains that at the lowest level of charity, someone begrudgingly gives to someone else, makes sure that others can see that they are giving, and then waits to be thanked. At the next level up, the person gives without someone asking for help. At the next level, the person open-heartedly instead of begrudgingly gives, and so on and so forth until the person has reached the highest level of charity. At the highest level of charity, the person open-heartedly gives of their things without knowing who will get it, and the person who receives it does not know where it came from. Upon hearing this, the girl exclaims that she will only ever give at that purest level. Her grandfather smiles and says, "Suppose we all gave as the first person did, out of self-interest and wanting credit for what we have done. Would there be more or less suffering in the world than there is now?" The girl thinks for a minute and says, "Well, there would be less suffering." And he says, "Yes, some things have enough goodness in them that they are worth doing any way that we can. It is better to bless life badly than not at all." And I find myself, like the young girl, wanting to proclaim in the face of this gospel that I will only give at the purest level. But I come crashing down from the heights of that belief when I think about the many people that I drive by daily, even just on my way to church, who need my help but don't receive it. I immediately begin to think that there are just too many people, and that I'm just one person, and that maybe I'm just destined to live as a goat. But then, what about the times that I do help others? It isn't as often as it should be, but it has happened that I have helped another person. Is it really so black and white that some receive eternal life and others eternal punishment? Could I be given maybe a number count on how many people I need to help in order to be received as a sheep, and maybe even a second number about how many people I need to help to undo those I didn't help? If I ignore a single person, have I lost the chance at being a sheep entirely? And I think the truth is that I live my life as a great goat and a terrible sheep. I'm constantly both doing my best, but also not living into what I know is my fullest potential. I'm always hearing the truth of the gospel and immediately being called to go tell what I've heard. While I'm believing, I'm also questioning. I know that I need care as much as I need to give care to other people. I find myself being judged by God for my actions while knowing that God sits beside me in my weakness. I'm both made aware of my failures to love others and rescued from that failure by the grace of God. I'm a good goat and a bad sheep. And I feel confident saying this because I think the conflict of feeling called to love and scared to do it is very common. However, our calling to love one another, it isn't just so that another person can have their needs met. The calling is just as much to help someone who needs food be fed as it is to help someone get outside of themselves and their wealth long enough to let Christ in. When we decide to minister to other people, we connect with other people, and we create a Christian community out of that love. And that community is able to save us from the loneliness that we bring on ourselves when we only live inside of our own world. And I don't like this, but this gospel is depicting a time of judgment. And I just thank God that the judge that stands before us doesn't judge the way we tend to. The only judge, Jesus, was himself judged and found guilty, though innocent, and received into the world to feel its pain and then relieve it. Jesus was imprisoned and not visited, thirsty and given sour wine, naked, and lots were cast for his clothing. And I think, according to the world, Jesus showed up as a goat, condemned to death and cast aside, forgotten and left to die, and then descended into the place of the dead. The reason I think we are able to see Jesus when we look at the least of these is because we can see that what the world has done to them is what the world did to Christ. And if we were in the judgment seat, if I was in the judgment seat, I know that it would not be so gracious. There would be far more an eternal punishment than eternal life, which is why, again, I thank God that the judge that stands before us is a judge of grace. But worshiping a gracious God does not relieve us from the calling to serve that same gracious God. We are still called to compassionate service. And it isn't, I think, that if we do these things, then we will sort of get paid an eternal life. It's that doing these things is what eternal life on this side of the veil looks like. Eternal life means that when you look into the face of the least of these, you recognize Christ. And if we can see Christ in others, we will show them dignity. As good goats and bad sheep, we consistently fail and fail and fail. And yet we are given chance after chance after chance to look into another face and try again. The many opportunities that we are given to do it right after we've done it wrong, that is a part of our grace. Because I imagine if we were only given one pass at it, we would all just be goats. But we're always being given chances to be sheep. When we judge and hold back, God reminds us in that moment of the worth of others and sends us back out to show love and dignity for others. And we can't say that we've seen Christ in others if we've refused to show them dignity. And I just thank God that this passage comes for us and for me at a time when I can still confess and repent. There is still time. And that is good news. Because if I judge another person, and I will, I'm not saying anything about them, but I'm saying everything about me. It isn't that I've taken their dignity away, but that I've lost some of my own. When we don't love others, we damage ourselves. And we need the absolution that comes from the grace of Christ so that we can be put back together by God and sent back into the world to try again. On Tuesday, we welcomed a guest at the Student Center, Susan Cowley, who works with Talitha Coombe. And she told the stories of children who come out of generations of poverty. She shared with us that throughout her 20-plus years of experience, the two things that people need the most that she works with are love and respect. She explained that the same church that started Talitha Coombe also started a ministry called the Gospel Cafe. And the Gospel Cafe feeds people every week. And she says that they don't just get food, they're given choices. They're able to look at a menu and pick which meal they would like to eat. And while their food is being prepared, they sit and volunteers fill their drinks and refill their drinks while they dine. There are tablecloths, flowers. It's a very welcoming, inviting place for someone to eat a meal. And one day, she said, she looked into the corner of her room and she saw an elderly man weeping. And he was eating his food and eating his food, but just tears streaming down his face. And finally, a volunteer walked up to him and said, "Sir, are you okay?" And he looked up at her, still crying, and said, I've just never eaten at a restaurant before. It isn't just that we feed people. It isn't just that we give others something to drink or that we clothe them. It is that we do these things because they are beautiful and they are loved. And it isn't just that they're loved by God, but that we love them too. Because you can't love someone while you look down on them. You have to crawl down into the pit where they are and look across at them and wait in that pit with them for someone else to bring both of you out. And as bad sheep and good goats, we are going to fail, and that is inevitable. I'm going to do good work out of self-importance. I'm going to let judgment keep me from service. And I'm going to embrace scarcity when I have plenty. So I want us to remember when that happens that some things have enough goodness in them that they are worth doing any way that you can. It is better to bless life badly than not at all.